Welcome to North Star, where we lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our campus in Blacksburg, Virginia. You can learn more about North Star by clicking on our website, northstarfamily.org. Thanks again, and we look forward to seeing you next time at North Star Church.
Well, we want to welcome you to our third and our last evening of December nights. It has been quite a journey all over Blacksburg, like Matt mentioned. And so we're thankful that you're here this evening. And Ezra, if I could I get you to flip on the house lights and turn down these spots? I appreciate that. It is an incredible opportunity for us each and every December that we have to come before Jesus and his presence and all month prepare our hearts and prepare our families and prepare our children and our friends to rejoice on Christmas Day. It's like we're trying to deprogram ourselves from the spirit of the holidays that our culture celebrates with gift giving and food and travel and materialism and money. And we want to remind ourselves and reboot ourselves that who we are as the people of God. And so over the past 3 weeks, I want to remind you where we've been in our messages. Our very first December night's message was about sing and proclaim and declare. And we shared Psalm 89, 1 and 2, which says, I will sing about the Lord's faithful love forever. I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations with my mouth, for I will declare, faithful love is built up forever. You establish your faithfulness in the heavens. And I shared with you on that evening about how that kind of came out of one of my devotional times the previous week and how it jumped on those three verbs of sing and proclaim and declare. And it convicted me how often in my role as a vocation, I'm a pastor, I'm a minister. But apart from my role as a pastor or as a minister, just as a guy in Blacksburg, a guy that got horribly beat in a Madden tournament last night, just an ordinary guy, it deeply convicts me of how often I miss opportunities to sing and proclaim and declare about Jesus. And so one of the questions we asked ourselves that week was, what would it look like if all of us, as the people of North Star Church, used our voices, used our pens, used our social media accounts this month to sing and proclaim and declare the wonder and the joy of knowing Jesus Christ, of experiencing salvation, of knowing forgiveness, of having peace because of what God has done for us in Christ. And we talked about how Christmas abolishes silence. And even though we sang Silent Night, we don't want to have silent days. We want our voices, we want every bit of our being to proclaim and to sing and declare about the wonder of knowing Jesus. And then last week, when we met over in Squires, we focused on the word consolation. And we looked at Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And in that passage, there was an older gentleman named Simeon who was in the temple. And when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus in, just weeks old, to dedicate him in the temple, there's this record of Simeon rushing up to them because he had been waiting for the Messiah of Israel. And God had revealed to him that he would not die until he got to see the Messiah. And so he realizes, he makes the connection. And there's this comment in Luke 2:25, and it says this, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And last week we urged one another to find our consolation in Jesus. The word consolation means comfort. It means that Christ has come alongside of us to encourage us, to sympathize, to empathize with us. And we looked last week at the importance of not getting caught up in our own little stories so much that we miss the bigger story of God. We talked about how if we're not careful, when we look at the Christmas story, we'll focus on the manger, or we'll focus on the shepherds, or we'll focus on King Herod, or we'll focus on the ordeal of a pregnant woman having to move from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem just a week or so before she gives birth, and arriving and discovering there's no room for them in the inn. We talked about how important it is that if we dwell on a sentence in our life, we will miss the paragraph. And if we're paralyzed by a paragraph of our life, we will miss the chapter. And if we choke on a chapter, we will miss the story of God in our midst and the importance of looking at the big picture of what God is doing and drawing our comfort and drawing our consolation that God is in control, that Christmas announces that God is in control and we can trust Him and we can receive comfort from His kind and loving control of our life. And this evening, I want to look at the theme of nearness. I want to talk about how God promises to be near us and how Christmas is a continuous announcement of the nearness of God. And I want to invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Again, we'll be focusing on one verse. We're going to be looking at that and unpacking it just for a few moments together. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says this: "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Now, I don't know how many of you had a 2017 that was a rough 2017. I know of a few families that for them, 2017 was just rough. It was a struggle. And when we read a verse like this, we can read the first part of the verse. It says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace," and we can get excited about the reality is that where is the throne of grace? It's in heaven. It's where God the Father sits, where Jesus Christ is at His right hand, and He's attended by cherubim and seraphim and 10,000 of 10,000 angels singing praises forever. And you realize that in that throne room is the presence of holiness and is the presence of might, is the presence of glory. And so when you have this invitation in Hebrews 4:16, don't rush too quickly past these first few lines. It says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace." And we want to ask ourselves, who in the world are we to step into this throne room, to barge in to the presence of the Holy of Holies, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the perfect, sinless, sovereign one? Who are we to dare to approach His presence? And yet there's this invitation to draw near. And not just to draw near cowering, to draw near with fear, to draw near feeling less than someone, to draw near with guilt, to draw near with shame. No, the invitation is this: let us draw near with confidence. And what is our confidence? Our confidence is Christmas. Our confidence that God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life, may have forgiveness, may have peace with God, may experience the peace of God. And so this invitation should be shocking, but then again, if you focus on the first line, you'll miss the last line: that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. I hope that you experience this Christmas afresh the reality of your own neediness. I think we get in the greatest danger when we forget that we are in great need before God. Some of you, your checking accounts are in fantastic shape. Some of you look around and say, "We are in good shape financially. We're in good shape with our jobs. We feel like we're in a good place as a family. We feel like everything is clicking." For me, my fantasy football team is in the semifinals this weekend. And fortunately, I started Kareem Hunt last night. Some of you will know what that means. But here's the reality. If we approach any day of our life and we forget how desperately needy we are, we essentially declare that Jesus Christ is not a factor in our life. We must condition ourselves to live in a state of dependence and to live in a state of need. Because the beautiful reality and the beautiful promise of Hebrews 4:16 is, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, because it is there in the presence of King Jesus that we will find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Folks, that is the invitation of Christmas. It's a promise of God's nearness that we can draw near to Him. And while it should be shocking that we are invited into the presence of sinless sovereignty, the even bigger shock is we're not just invited, but that we are welcomed. That God loves us. God's purpose at Christmas is to invite, to reconcile, to restore, to forgive. We have been invited into His presence since the angels sang of His birth and a star shone in the east. You think about it just for a moment, as God has been an inviting God from the very beginning. He has always invited us into His presence. Even in the garden when Adam and Eve had sinned, there's the record of the Lord coming to walk and to spend time with Adam and Eve. And what were they doing? They were hiding. But the implication is that when God came to walk, He was inviting. They were hiding, He was inviting. And at the birth of Christ, that had been foretold through so many of the prophets in the Old Testament, came, what did God begin doing? He began issuing invitations through angels when they appear in the pasture, above the pastures, inviting shepherds to come. The shepherds are shocked. He sets a star in the heavens and wise men come to worship. All were invited. God had come near at the first Christmas. And it's not that God just came near. God didn't show up in the form of a baby and say, I'm here, come serve me. God showed up and He welcomed us into His nearness. And He welcomed us into vulnerability and intimacy. Because what does a baby communicate other than need? What does a baby demonstrate other than innocence, intimacy, vulnerability? God drops the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into our midst in the most vulnerable way. And He invites us into His presence to communicate to us how much He loves us. When the throne was still a manger, we were not invited into intimidating power, but we were invited into innocent presence. God invited us near to Him. He invited us into intimacy with the Messiah. How does He do that? How does God, the most omnipotent one, the King of the cosmos, the Holy, the Mighty One, how does He invite us as sinful people into His presence? Well, the prophet Jeremiah foretold what God was doing at Christmas. And this is what he said in Jeremiah 31:34. God says, I will forgive their iniquity and never again remember their sin. That's the pronouncement of Christmas. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will never again remember their sin. Now, some churches would probably say amen to that, so I'm going to read that one more time, okay? I will forgive their iniquity and never again remember their sin. Amen. Let me test the spillover crowd and make sure the TV's still working, all right? Just the spillover crowd now. I will forgive their iniquity and never again remember their sin. There we go. There we go. I think it's important that we grasp this truth, that Christmas announces peace, that Christmas announces purpose, that Christmas announces forgiveness. We grasp it. We rejoice in it. But here's the reality, is that when God announced forgiveness at Christmas, when God sent His Son and we're forgiven because of our faith in Christ Jesus, the beautiful reality is God didn't just forgive us and said, okay, your sin is forgiven, and leave us in a state of moral neutrality. Now, I know net neutrality is one thing, but I'm talking about moral neutrality. It's not like God said, okay, you no longer have a sin debt. You're at ground zero. That's not what God did for us by sending Jesus and inviting us into His nearness and His intimacy. What he did for us is He forgave us of our sin, and then He lavishes His love upon us, because now that our sin is no longer there, God is now free to love us with all of His omnipotence and all of His love and all of His holiness and all of His joy. It's all free for those who trust in Christ as their Savior. And what does He ask and invite us to do in response? Some would say, obey Him. I would contend that when Jesus said in John 14:16, if you love me, you will obey my commandments, what Jesus was really saying is that God invited us, first and foremost, to love Him with all that we are. And when Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments, He's saying, if you love me, you're going to obey my commandments. It's not a, if you love me, you're going to obey my commandments. The reality of it is that when God lavishes His love on us, it changes us from the inside out. When God sent Jesus to earth, born as a babe in a manger, He was intended for the cross, but it's a pronouncement that God loves us, and God is going to love us so recklessly and so extravagantly that He is going to elicit our love as a joyful response to His love. I appreciate that no one comes into the throne of grace. No one comes into the throne room of God with titles. I'm not going to show up in the throne room of heaven one day and say, well, I'm here as the pastor of North Star. You're not going to show up as the CEO of whatever company. You're not going to show up with whatever title you may achieve in life, whatever accomplishments you achieve. You're going to show up in the throne room of heaven as who you God made you to be. I'm going to show up as Jeff Noble. Just who God made me to be. And God is going to lavish His love upon me. He's going to look upon me according to Scripture. And He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Which blows my mind, because I know that I'm not always good, I'm not always faithful. But it is God's goodness, it's God's faithfulness that I'm banking on. It's His righteousness that has been given to me through Christmas because of what Jesus has done. Then one of the other parts of us being vulnerable before God is that God apparently was vulnerable to us. Do you ever think about the reality that God sends Jesus to be born in a manger, that there is no room in the inn? Do you ever think about, God, that was kind of a gamble. How are you for sure going to make sure that this baby is being taken care of? What about the germs in this cave where animals dwelled? What about the fact that it's probably cold in the evenings? God, how are you going to ensure that this Jesus, as a baby, a vulnerable child, is going to be taken care of by first-time parents and by a dad who had to be convinced by an angel that Mary had not had relations with a man? How are you going to ensure that Jesus is going to be okay? That He's going to grow up safely? And we start asking ourselves questions like that, and then we realize how silly those questions really are. If we don't think that God could bring baby Jesus from the womb to the manger, to the carpentry shop, to Capernaum, to trials before kings, and to the cross, if we don't think that He can do that for Jesus, then we won't think that he can take care of us either. You see, God's sovereignty promises that what he declares, he will bring to pass. And he promises us his nearness. Jesus says he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. He will be near to us. He will come alongside of us through our trials and our heartaches. And so when we see God's ability to take care of his son, we also internalize God's power to take care of us through our lives as well. God can bring us through. God can bring us out because God has promised to bring us near to him. Psalm 73:28. I want to read it to you in three different translations. English Standard Version says this: "But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all of your works." In the Christian Standard Bible, it says, "But as for me, God's presence is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, so I can tell about all that you do." And then the New American Standard Bible, it says, "But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." And so, North Star family, Christmas reveals God's nearness. It demonstrates a loving God who desires intimacy with us, who rewards vulnerability and humility. The purpose of his nearness is our healing, it's our transformation, it's our refreshing, it's our forgiveness, it's our peace. The New Testament says that Jesus himself is our peace. And then back in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, it says this: "For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest," speaking of Jesus, "holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like the former high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, because he did this once for all when he offered up himself." And so when it says, "Therefore, let us then draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, knowing that there we will find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need," we approach Jesus in the confidence of Christmas, because God sent his son to invite us into his nearness. He invites us, he saves us, he protects us, he perfects us, he loves us. Christmas declares that God is near, and he invites you tonight to enjoy his nearness. He invites you tonight to draw near to him. Whatever it is that's going on in your lives this Christmas season, whether it's dreading going home or dreading traveling or not having enough money or family tensions or relational tensions or not wanting your parents to find out what you've done on your exam so far, whatever it may be that is hindering you from enjoying the tender nearness of God, I have got to urge you, there's nothing more important in life than being near Jesus. There's nothing more important in life than being near Jesus. He promises to draw near to those who draw near to him. And he took the initiative 2,000 years ago to draw near to mankind at Christmas. Isaiah 7:14, one of the great prophecies of the Old Testament, says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel." And as you probably are familiar with, Emmanuel in Hebrew means God with us. In other words, God near us. And so this Christmas, I want to encourage you to remember our three messages at December Nights. As you step into the nearness of Jesus, it should take you back around to our first message. It should lead you to enjoy His love for you and to sing and proclaim and declare the joy of Jesus Christ. And when you get out of kilter this Christmas season and when you start focusing on the sentences of your life instead of the story that God has prepared for us, remember that He offers us consolation and comfort, and draw near again to Jesus. And do you see the cycle? That when you draw near to Him and He draws near to you and reminds you of how much He loves you and all that He's done for you in Jesus at Christmas, it circles you back around and you can't help but sing, proclaim, and declare. And then somewhere along the way, we get off kilter, don't we? And we draw our comfort again. We find our consolation again in our love relationships with Jesus. And it sends us back around to enjoying His nearness as we draw near. I want to encourage you this Christmas season to enter into intimacy with Jesus. That's essentially what I mean by nearness. I think that's what Scripture means by nearness. To walk in intimacy with Jesus. And if you're here this evening and you're like, I have no idea where to start. I have no idea where to turn. I have no idea what to listen to. I have no idea how to begin to be vulnerable with God. To be intimate with God. Would you please email me or one of our staff or text me. It's just 998-JEFF. I know that's cheesy. But this Christmas season, seriously, this Christmas season, give yourself the gift of beginning to draw near to King Jesus. What would a group of people in Blacksburg, Virginia, who are making a commitment to enjoy the presence of Jesus in their life. What would a group of people like that do for this community, for these campuses? A group of people that love and declare King Jesus. Let me pray for us. Father, we love You so much. We exalt You and we praise You. And we are overwhelmed that You give us the privilege of coming into Your presence because of what You have done for us in Jesus. You've set us free. You've renewed us. You've brought peace. And You've promised Your nearness. God, we don't understand Your love, but we believe it. We appropriate it. And Lord, we ask that You'd help us to give this gift of nearness to our friends and our families this year, to be present with them, to encourage them in Christ. And Lord, for those who are here this evening that have never drawn near to You, that don't know what intimacy with You might look like, I'm asking that You would make that perfectly clear and that You would help them to have the courage to reach out and to get help, to take steps, and understanding how much You love them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.